I now call this regular meeting of Amesburg Town Council to order. And we are going straight to the in-camera item. Can I have someone move that? You gotta read it.
It's on the blue. On the blue.
Move that the council move into a in-camera meeting of council, listed at 4:00. Dealing with item A is an education section. There's 239.1. For the purposes of education or training of council, where no member discusses or otherwise deals with any matter in a way that materially advances the business or decision making of council.
Second. Councilor Fryer, all those in favor? Carried. And is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the in-camera portion? Okay, seeing none, we will proceed. Oh yeah, that's right. Let's see, procedurally, a motion to resume. Councilor Fryer and Councilor Levine, all those in favor? Carried. Please stand for a moment of silent reflection. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest on the public agenda? Okay, seeing none. Minutes of previous meeting. Councilor Fryer?
I'll move the minutes 8.1 and 8.2.
Second. Councilor Courtney? All those in favor? Carried. Is there any issues with those? Okay. Brings us to delegations. We are going to move up 9.5 and the associated item 11.1. So that would be the Essex Region Conservation Foundation.
Good evening. Your Worship and members of Council, I'm joined here with my colleagues from the Essex Region Conservation Foundation, Vice President Claire Wales, and also Director Sean Collier, who is a very proud resident of the town of Amesburg, and along with our Executive Director Richard Wima. I'd first like to extend our congratulations to Council and Administration on a tremendous year and for closing the year with a surplus. This is a tremendous accomplishment and speaks volumes to the leadership and to the future of the town of Amesburg. The town understands the well-being of the communities, and it has a direct impact on the bearing of our health and the businesses and organizations, and the town of Amesburg has shown this commitment to make a positive contribution, which can be seen in the investments the town has made in trails, waterfront, and open space systems. The foundation shares this commitment with you. Connecting our region through trails, this is a strategic priority for the foundation. As trails link healthy people and healthy environments, increase tourism and local economic development opportunities, and are a key part of our sustainable community with strong environmental health, human health, and economic health. Recently, along with the Essex Region Conservation Authority, the foundation launched our new visual identity, The Place for Life, to emphasize and clarify our commitment to further enhance the efforts of the foundation and for IRCA to establish Windsor Essex Pelee Island as the Place for Life. You can see two distinct logos, and I stress two distinct entities. The foundation board of directors is made up of community business leaders like Claire, Sean, and myself, who take their own time to help create and enrich the Place for Life. May 2017 marks the 40th anniversary of the Essex Region Conservation Foundation. In 1977, the foundation was founded to provide support to IRCA by raising funds for projects that would not otherwise come to fruition. Our focus is on the following areas: protect and restore natural areas, supporting kids in nature and outdoor education, preserving our heritage, and connecting the region through trails. It is the last point that we are here to speak to you about today. We need to emphasize to you that the acquisition and development of greenways are not funded through the IRCA levy. It is the foundation that has been solely responsible for funding the acquisition and development of greenways since 1995, when the Chrysler Canada Greenway was acquired. It is through the ongoing fundraising efforts of this foundation that we've been able to accelerate and create a system of approximately 100 kilometers of trails along with other projects and deliver these to the residents of our communities. These are projects that all of us would not be able to use for recreational purposes if it were not for the efforts of the foundation and our generous supporters. Through the foundation's fundraising efforts, we appeal to, apply to, and sometimes receive federal, provincial, and local support for projects that municipalities see as regionally benefiting. Again, these trail projects are entirely supported through fundraising efforts from tremendous personal and corporate partners and grants received through the Essex Region Conservation Foundation. IRCA maintains and operates the greenways only through its operational funding. The foundation is responsible for funding the acquisition and development of the greenways. The foundation's history with greenways began in 1995 with the acquisition of 42 kilometers abandoned ray line, now known as the Chrysler Canada Greenway. The Cypher Systems Group Greenway began in 2003, with CN donating 22 kilometers of abandoned rail line from Essex to Amherstburg. Since then, through the fundraising efforts and events of the foundation, the generous support of people and organizations such as the Town of Essex, the Trillium Foundation, Service Ontario, Rotary Clubs, federal government, and I must say, it is a tremendous feeling to have the Canada 150 money come back into our community. Along with Cypher Systems Group, WFCU Credit Union, Green Shield Canada, Caesars Windsor, Colleen and Richard Petty, along with Phil and Darlene Horn, just to name a few. The Greenway will become a reality on April 27th of this week. The total value of the Cypher Systems Group Greenway is $3.5 million. Of the total $1.1 million for the current project, $700,000 is within the town of Amherstburg. Of the total 16 kilometers of the current project, 10 kilometers are within the town of Amherstburg. My understanding is that Richard Wyma spoke to some of these unexpected costs related to drainage and drain processes in Amherstburg, which were not required in Essex when he was here recently to speak to those. And he can speak to those again if there are any questions. Again, with these numbers, the foundation is responsible for funding the acquisition and development of the Cypher Systems Greenway. 100% of a contribution from the town of Amherstburg would go directly to the greenway, not for operations. I want to leave you with these final statistics, which show there are proven benefits to supporting the value of greenways in communities. As I mentioned in my opening comments, connecting our region through the trails is a strategic priority for the foundation, as trails link healthy people and healthy environments. Increased tourism and local development opportunities and are a key part to a sustainable community with strong environmental health, human health, and economic health. On behalf of the Essex Region Conservation Foundation, I want to thank you for the opportunity to appear before you and to speak on supportive funding for the Cypher Systems Greenway. As a foundation, we are extremely excited to bring this to the region and to the residents of Amherstburg. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Councillor Pryor?
No questions, but thank you, Susan, and other board members for attending, and our general manager, Richard Wyma of Verka. As soon as, if there is no questions or no, any concerns that need to be addressed, I'll make a motion at that time if there is any.
Councilor Melange.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the presentation. I just have one concern, because I happened to be driving by yesterday. Cars are parking right at the entrance on the road where the, you know, they're going to cross the highway. And I was saying to my wife, that's a little bit of a safety concern. All of a sudden, you have bicycles wanting to cross the highway, but there are cars parked right close to the entrances. And I was wondering, is someone going to deal, somewhere along the way, have to deal with that? Because I see a potential problem.
I'm actually going to let Richard speak to that in terms of the design aspect, that obviously that is something that we would take concern with.
Absolutely. It's a great sign that people are using the trail, first of all, which is tremendous. But it does create some potential problems. And what when we created the project for the what is now the Cypher Systems Group Greenway, it was basically to get the trail done. In addition to the trail, we did want to create some opportunities, as we've done on the Chrysler Canada Greenway, for what we call the community entrances, which are spaces that are designed to accommodate parking and sometimes other facilities. You may have seen it as close as the Caesar's Windsor community entrance off of County Road 8, just outside of the Paquette Corners there. One in Harrow, we work with a Colasanti's has an entrance. We've got a number of these entrances along the way on the Chrysler Canada Greenway. We've identified, and on the map that we had here, we identified there's a number of community entrances that we would like to develop. Those are still those projects that we're going to continue to fundraise for as a foundation to ensure that we can work again with some great corporate partners and community partners to ensure that we can provide safe parking facilities. Our goal initially was to get the trail built so that people in Amherstburg as well as others in the region can benefit and value the trail as a starting point to get the facility built. And now we'll have the excitement and momentum which we can then take out and leverage that to get some additional support to ensure that the facilities are available. When we did get the rail line as a donation, there were a couple of areas where there were some railroad sidings, as we've done in the Chrysler Canada Greenway stretch. Those sidings are those areas that we've turned into some of those parking facilities. So that will be coming. At the very least, at least initially, we'll have an opportunity for people to get out there and experience the trail, and then we'll continue to look at how we can ensure that we can provide those safe access points.
So if we have any questions, they would go to IRCA rather than the foundation with respect to that part?
That's correct. As a greenway, it will become an IRCA conservation area from an operational perspective. And so our officers, our conservation staff, are able to get out in the field and ensure that rules are maintained. And we do that quite regularly along our stretches right now with Greenway to ensure that people are parking in safe spots.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, back to Councilor Fryer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this time, we'll make a motion to receive the delegation and that the town of, just to receive it, and then I'll make a motion after that.
Okay, motion to receive. Second, Councilor Melange. All those in favor? Carried. And back to you.
And 11.1 allows for options, and I'm going to make a motion outside of the options just for I think for clarity for this particular item. And I'll make the motion that the town of Amherstburg donate to the Essex Regional Conservation Foundation in the amount of $100,000 to the Cypher Systems Greenway, which connects Amherstburg to Essex.
Okay, second, Councilor Melange.
With an addition.
With an amendment?
Just a minor one, adding a couple words.
Okay, what would that be?
That the funding be taken from the reserve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taken from the
2016
surplus.
Thank you.
Okay. So that was moved and seconded. Any questions or comments on that? Councilor Fryer?
Just one comment on, and there was mentioned residents, the mayor, council, if anyone can attend, the opening will be in McGregor, April 27th at 11 o'clock, and we invite everyone to come. Little does our general manager know, but I'm planning on bringing some cyclists with me, to cycle back to Amherstburg. So once the greenway's open, I'm gonna have some people with me to open the greenway, even though, as the councilor mentioned, there's many people on there already enjoying the greenway.
Okay, any other comments? All those in favor? Carried. That brings us to 9.1. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. And just, the event is at 11 o'clock, and
okay.
There is information on our Facebook page, and we would welcome everyone to be there. We will be celebrating. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's see, that brings us to 9.1. And I will say, in light of some training we just received and some procedural issues, I'm not really in a position to allow the delegation. However, if council has any, Councilor Melange?
Well, in view of this circumstance,
Mike Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In view of the circumstance, I would request the council's indulgence at this point to waive the rules of order so that I can speak to the matter, given that we have a number of variants here.
Okay, I would require a second in that respect. Deputy Mayor? I don't think there's much to discuss there. Councilor Melange?
I'd like to put forth a motion.
Sorry. First, we have to vote on it.
Sorry.
So the motion is to waive the rules, yes? Councilor Pryor?
For clarification through you to the clerk, we're waiving the rules to allow someone to speak on a delegation that's not happening or is happening.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The mayor has denied the delegation. So as such, he's stricken the delegation from the agenda, and therefore the matter does not exist on the agenda. Therefore, you're waiving the rules of order in order to speak to a matter that is not on the agenda.
So would that come under old business, or would it come right now under delegations?
It would be under new business, because it is not on the agenda.
So it wouldn't be right now?
That is the motion made, is so that it can be addressed now. Otherwise, it would have to be brought up under new business. So I guess it would be more of a procedural motion at this point. Is any other clarification required? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of waiving? Okay, opposed? Okay. Recorded, okay.
Recorded vote has been requested. The motion before council is that they waive the rules of order to allow Councillor Melange to speak on the matter regarding committee's recommendation for the signed bylaw exemption on this matter now rather than in new business. Councillor Courtney?
In favor.
Deputy Mayor DePasquale?
Support.
Councillor Pryor?
Not support.
Councillor Levine?
Not support.
Councillor Melange?
Support.
Mayor DeCarlo.
Support.
Motion carries.
Go ahead, Councilor.
I'd like to put forth a motion to allow the Rotary a 14-day extension to erect 10 signs based on the listing that they've provided that we have in the documentation in front of us.
Okay, is there a second?
A second.
Councilor Fryer?
For discussion.
Okay. And Councilor Melange, you have first opportunity to speak on the matter if you wish.
I just want to say that, you know, the Rotary is just great, good to the community, and I just, you know, think that it isn't a matter that's a great concern. Okay, with respect to adding, you know, that extra 14 days. 10 signs definitely does not pose a pollution problem, as some people prefer to sign it as a pollution. I just see no problem granting this extension based on the community value, and it's the value that this group brings back to this community. Thank you.
Councilor Frey?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And, you know, I agree with Councilor Melosh, although I understand the Rotary and the issues you have around that 14-day extension. The only thing that's not being spoke is when we get educated as councilors, we do have an obligation under our oath to uphold the bylaws. And by upholding bylaws, we hold, as we sit here as a council, we make sure that they're going to be adhered to. We can make, and I was hoping the councilor would have made the motion, that's why I wanted to speak on it, to allow administration to go back, find out what other municipalities are doing, and then bring a recommendation to amend the bylaw to allow for the different time frame than what we have right now. So I think that would have been a better motion that I could have supported, allowing under our oath as councilors sitting around the table, and it's no slight to the Rotary organization and what you do for the town and the amount of money that goes back into the municipality from your organization. It's just, if we allow each bylaw to be changed for one group, it's going to be another and then another, then there's no reason to have a bylaw put in place that are supposed to be adhered to. So that's why I wanted to talk on it, and I hope, you know, I didn't talk too much out of turn, but we do have obligations that we do need to adhere to, and I would be more in favor if it came back to us in a timely manner that allowed for an extension, but once administration had the ability to go around and ask the other six municipalities, what do you do?
Nicole, can I just ask you a question? To be fair to administration, we have spent a considerable amount of time on this. Would your position change if it came back to you?
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo, I would want to do more research, to be quite honest. I would do a comprehensive review of the surrounding municipalities and speak to some other organizations that we have at our disposal.
Fair enough. Back to Councilor Melosh.
You know, I hear what Councilor Fryer is saying, but you know what? Every council we come to, somebody comes with a minor variance. Somebody comes, you know, one organization comes for a grant where we give to one, we don't give to another. We go through those kind of decisions at every council. We have to look at this group as the humanitarian aspects, the volunteers that provide their time and effort to community good, strictly to community good. And so you know, that we make, you know, we're favoring one over another, we go through that process many, many, many times. Thank you.
Sorry, just for clarification, the extension time was?
Allow a 14-day extension.
14-day extension. Councilor Fryer?
So through you again to the manager, Nicole, just comprehensive study, would you be able to just poll or call the other municipalities, find out what their time frames are, and then bring those back to council to make a decision? I mean, to go and ask groups and everything else, we're just looking at what do the other municipalities use as a time frame prior to their event. Is it? It seems pretty strict. I don't know what comprehensive what you're talking about.
Through you, Mayor DiCarlo, what I had done previously with the sign bylaw was review the portable sign language. So I have not yet looked at temporary language and how it affects special events in the other sign bylaws. So that's what I meant by that.
Okay. Councilor Lee.
Thank you. Through you to Mr. Galvin. Without revealing in-camera information, could you advise council once again what the advice was on the situation? In regards to the sign bylaw,
not that
and why we're here.
I'll try. through you, Mayor, this was a matter that was before council previously, and council made a decision. It's always within the purview of council to revisit decisions and to do what what they like in terms of the rules and regulations that are within the scope of what's being requested. Having said that, you did have this matter before you. There is an ability, obviously, of administration. We are at your will. If we're directed to look at the other municipalities, we will do so. There is another aspect to not just the language. I do know, and I can't quote the municipalities, but some also limit the number of signs. So there's sometimes the number of signs, there's sometimes the location of signs, and there's sometimes the size, and there's sometimes the time. So I think when Nicole says comprehensive, I think that's really what she's talking about. There's a multi-layer approach. This was in front of council. There was a request a meeting or two ago, and it was denied. And you have the matter in front of you again. And I think that was the basis. I don't want to speak for the mayor, but certainly the basis for the denial. You did waive your rules to speak on the matter, so you have the matter before you. There's a number of options, obviously, that you have. One I presented to you was, or one that was presented was for us to bring back a report, which wouldn't be time-consuming, but we would want to bring you the best information as we could. The second would be to simply deny or allow.
Yes, and if I could redirect, that was what I was trying to get at. In your opinion, due to the training we just received and the advice, is it best to go with just the granting exemption on one of the two bylaws we were told outright zoning and signs to stay away from, or two, to send it back to her and allow her department, Ms. Rubley, to do this study?
Again, you know, what I always look for in cases such as this is to have a repeatable and defendable pattern. You want to make sure your decisions can be repeated for the next person, the next person, and the next person. So I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you that those are the two words that I often use. Are we looking at this the same way all the time? I think if you're looking at a comprehensive to say, if you don't think the time is long enough, then we can look at that. If you think the time is too long, then we can look. But what we bring you back of the information to say, this is sort of the state of the art for the regulation of the time limit and all of the other matters I mentioned. That comes down to a repeatable, defendable process when you're confronted with these issues. You know, you don't want to continually revisit your own decisions. However, having said that, there are rules that allow you to do such a, you know, to do that. So, you know, I think if you're trying to find a solution, I think you have to look at and ask yourself the question, what will I do when there's the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and follow that same template, that same matrix, to apply that to your decision.
Deputy Mayor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Nicole. Has there ever been an exemption granted on this type of bylaw?
On the sign bylaw itself? Mm-hmm. Yes, there has been exemptions granted to that bylaw.
How many? You know?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay, is there any other questions? Okay. Deputy Mayor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a comment, Ms. Rubley. If someone asks for an exemption, what's the chances of getting it? Has to be passed by the people here, right?
Through you, to Mayor DiCarlo, the sign bylaw does allow for exemptions, but it is under council's purview to do so.
Well, thank you. I'd like to make a motion.
Yep. We have a motion.
You got one already.
For the recorded vote, the motion before council is that council allow the Rotary Club a 14-day extension for the 10 signs identified in the locations indicated. Councilor Courtney.
In favor.
Deputy Mayor DiPasquale.
Support.
Councilor Fryer.
Support.
Councilor Levine.
Opposed.
Councilor Melosh.
Support.
Mayor DiCarlo.
brings us to 9.2, Wes Hewer and Matt Fox.
Good evening, Your Worship, Administration, and members of Town Council. Thank you for allowing us to speak to you tonight. My name is Wes Hewer, and along with Matt Fox, we're the owners of the Amherstburg Admirals Junior C hockey team. We're here to speak to you tonight about the supplementary agenda 15.2-3, 4, and 5. First and foremost, we want to thank the administration for putting resources into identifying the many issues at the Libro Center, specifically surrounding ice conditions. There's no secret it has not been smooth sailing for us and our players. We have strongly voiced our concerns over the past 3 years, and with the help of Mr. Lindsay and Mr. Michelli, we are starting to see some results. So thank you for your continued commitment to the Libro Center and its many users, young and old. We're happy to be here tonight with the support of Skate Amherstburg and Amherstburg Minor Hockey Association. Our three user groups account for a large portion of the ice rentals at the Libro, and combined offered programming for over 650 athletes from ages 3 years up to 21 years old. Regarding supplementary agenda item 15.2-3, removing the ice for June and July, this will directly impact our ability to recruit players. If we're forced to move our summer skates and other programming to another location, we're not able to show off the facility that we've been able to use for the past 3 years. Having one of the nicest in the arenas in the county actually helps us recruit players, and there's no denying it. If we're not able to recruit and show our facility off to these players, this will drastically reduce the success of the team, and in turn, this could directly impact the town and the money we generate for it. Success equals fans in the seats, which translates into concession sales. It translates into a longer playoff run, which is good for the town in the long run. The lack thereof equals the inverse. We understand our usage is not a ton during these months, and we understand the plight of council and administration. However, these ice times in the summer should be considered by all to be an investment which pays off during the 8 month hockey season. And we believe we have a solution that will satisfy all of the user groups and the administration. Speaking on behalf of the Admirals and the other user groups you'll hear from later, we do not require any ice in the month of June. We're, as a group, fine with all three, or with all the pads, all three, including the goalie rink, being taken out. We're asking that the ice be put back in on rink B by July 20th. Skate Amherstburg and the Amherstburg Admirals programming would start that very night. This request is 10 days earlier than the already planned timing. We're also informing council that we do not require the second pad to be reinstalled until August 21st. From my understanding, this is a few days later than it was planned to be put back in, which would save a little bit of money on the back end. On top of this, thanks to Skate Amherstburg's willingness to adjust their programming, the town will see more revenue in August, because ice that was scheduled to be used in July is now shifting into August, as Skate Amherstburg would modify their programming to fit the town's needs. We believe this is a fair compromise for all parties involved. It significantly mitigates costs to the town and offers a positive shift of revenue to a point later in the summer. We're asking council to consider this rather than taking the ice out for the 2 months of June and July in the 4 months. Furthermore, when the discussion comes up next year, please let it be noted that ice being removed for the entire month of May is not feasible at all for our organization, Amherstburg Minor Hockey Association, Skate Amherstburg. And these are important times, as these are important times in our programming, we'd be happy to outline that if desired. Regarding this facility surcharge, we're asking council to table this decision until more information can be provided to the user groups and this work can be worked into budgets. As you will hear from AMHA and Skate Amherstburg, registration is open, fees are set. Adding a fee now offers no avenue for either organization to recoup additional costs from the users, from the users in the group, many of whom are already finding participation in skating and hockey to be financially challenging. The fee directly impacts us as it comes out of our pockets. Although some of you may think we are a profitable business, and by title we are an incorporated business, I can surely assure you that we are not a profitable business. We are a break-even business, and we are in it purely for our love of this sport and bringing a championship to this town, and hopefully never having our mayor have to wear an orange jersey again. So unlike AMHA and Skate Amherstburg, when fees go up, Matt and I pay for it. We cannot pass those fees along to our members. Even Skate Amherstburg and AMHA have a tough time making these types of fee adjustments due to the number of registrants they have in their programs. All of our groups want to be inclusive of as many players and athletes as possible, and fee increases prevent that to some extent. We cannot charge players as a hockey team. It's against the OHA policy and against the Hockey Canada regulations, which we fall under. We cannot increase ticket prices, as they're set by our league. We cannot increase advertising costs, as the town sets the fee we charge for arena signage sponsorship. These fees come from us, and any increase hinders our ability to run smoothly. We understand that increases are needed, and we already pay more for ice than Amherstburg Minor Hockey Association and Skate Amherstburg. But there are just a lot of questions surrounding the fund, and that coupled with the surplus the town has, we do not comprehend how this fee can be added for this year. We believe that the user groups need to be consulted first before the motion is added. The motion to add the fee is approved. There are many questions surrounding the fund, such as how it will be administered down the road. Until those answers are satisfied, we cannot support this motion. If there's going to be a capital fund which is funded by user groups, then the user groups should have a meaningful say, example, meaningful votes on a committee which recommends to council how the funds are spent. With council doing a great job of creating a surplus this year, we find the timing peculiar for council administration to be coming back to the user groups that already fund the Libro Center through user fees and through taxpayer dollars, as we are all Amherstburg-based organizations and residents, to create a surplus. Could not more of the surplus from the year go to the fund, the Libro Center? We just donated $100,000 to a foundation that connects communities. We have a place in our community that connects its residents with the community that needs some love first. Arenas are not profitable. They are public service that is shared by countless youth and adults on a daily basis. The town is taking steps to cut back ice in the summer, which will result in additional funds. Please do not try and build a fund on the backs of the people who are already paid to use it. The fee is a roundabout way of not increasing taxes, but double dipping on the people who already pay taxes and try and operate at the Libro Center. Thank you very much for hearing us out tonight.
Mr. CEO, do you want to speak on what?
I wouldn't change my report. I think we're just going to have to let the other delegation speak. I do have also Mr. Kurzik here, who did the engineering report. I don't agree with some of the comments you've made, but I guess we'll talk about that at the end.
Okay. Councilor Fryer?
I'm just wondering, the other two organizations are going to be asking, should we bring this this motion number 15 forward? Have all three of them speak and then ask questions then, or do you want to ask questions with each one separately?
I will leave that to council, whatever your preference is. Is anyone opposed to hearing all delegations and then dealing with the matter? Okay, then I guess we will hear all delegations. Is there any questions before we let this delegation go? Councilor Fry?
No questions, but I'll make a motion to receive their delegation.
Okay, and is there a second? Councilor Mosh, all those in favor? Carried. And I'm sure if there's any other questions, yeah.
Okay, good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, Administration. I'm here speaking on behalf of Amherstburg Minor Hockey. A little bit of background, we have been in existence since the days of the TCMHA some 40 plus years ago. Over the past many years, we've had over 530 children play in AMHA with over hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. On the report, I'd like to speak to 15.4, the issue of facility surcharge. The report talks about building capital reserves for funds for the Libro facility. We want to be upfront with our concerns to council administration. A user surcharge, which was outlined in the report, of $5 would hit us probably the hardest. Roughly around $15,000, which would turn into, if we have 500 kids, $30 increase per kid. With ice rentals generating 80% of the Libro revenue, surcharge will fall mainly on the user groups. Our concern, money invested by AMHA and other user groups could be spread to other parts of the facility other than the ice pad related maintenance. We'd like to see the town use build a reserve, but it's really concerning on how we're going to deal with it. We rent roughly 2,500, 3,000 hours. I don't know how it's fairly administered to a baseball game, a soccer game. The concern is we're going to generate most of the revenue as users, which has been an issue right from the beginning, which it always continue to be. We'd like to see a reserve fund set up, and we believe that's the right direction. We just want to be upfront that we're concerned that $5 doesn't sound a lot, but when it comes to, to us, that's 15 grand, 30 bucks a kid, 25 bucks a kid, even $20 a child to get them on the ice. Hockey's not very cheap, as most of you know. I'd like to speak a bit on 15-3 removal of the ice for the months of June and July. We believe it has the serious effects to skate Amherstburg and Amherstburg Avalanche programs. We are in support of taking out both pads as outlined by Wes here from the Avalanche, with the provisions that that pad B go back in for July 20th usage, that pad A go back in for August 21st usage. We believe this gives some time, gives some cost savings to the town. It's important.
Is there any questions? Okay, Councilor Melange.
Is it the right time to be commenting on the financials? Are we got, is it just more delegations coming in here?
We've got one more delegation, and
thank you.
Motion to receive, Councilor Courtney and Councilor Fryer. All those in favor? Carried. And Lynn Fox.
Your Worship, members of Town Council, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Lynn Fox, and I represent Skate Amherstburg. I'm the president. I'm here to speak this evening on the recommendation to remove both ice surfaces from the Libro Center during the months of June and July. We're not in favor of this. I feel it's important to point out that strong communities provide its residents with opportunities to interact, work, and play, and Skate Amherstburg contributes many of these important features to this community that help to make it a great place to live. We bring the town jobs that are close to home and personally fulfilling, volunteer positions for high school students and adults that encourage members of our community to learn and grow and make a difference. We provide interaction and help cultivate the interests of those in our community by providing a hub for engagement, and we promote healthy behaviors. And as health is so closely linked to quality of life, the thriving community is one that provides easy access to numerous options for exercise. The option to remove both ice pads from the Libro Center during the summer months will hurt our organization. With the ice removed during that time, we'd be unable to offer our summer programs, which have been we've been providing for many years in the town of Amherstburg. A big factor in continuation in any sport is whether or not an athlete feels that they're making progress, and that success is within reach. In skating, an extended absence can mean loss of skill that must be made up before progress can be achieved, and sometimes that means that we lose participants. Many of the children that come to Skate Amherstburg for the summer's CanSkate program are very young, aspiring hockey players. And we give those kids the courage to step out on the ice in hockey gear in September and help them kick off the season. With the ice being pulled in the summer months, again, we won't be able to provide this programming and help these kids out. However, we understand councils need to be responsible with taxpayers' money and to monitor the expenses at the Libro Center. So we have some solutions that we believe would be effective in cost reductions while continuing to support the needs of our programming. We don't have any ice requirements during the month of June, and we would support removal of all the pads during that time. We normally start our summer programs at the beginning of July and run into mid-August, but we would consider shifting our program start later to July 20th, as indicated by Mr. Ewer, and furthering the town's savings. For this to work, we'd need the Mavati ice pad back in and ready to use on July 20th, and Rink A must be back in and ready to use on August 21st, 2017. We also understand the goal of the Libro Center reserve. However, with the council considering the allocation of surplus funds to establish this reserve, we would ask that you delay any facility surcharges into a future year. Our fees have already been set. We wouldn't be able to pass those along or recuperate those expenses this year. We are being asked to carry the burden of future maintenance with this surcharge, and we would like to know that these expenses that are coming out of the Libro Center reserve would be allocated towards ice expenses only. And just a general question, I understand that there are some hydro cost reductions, and I'd be interested to know how that impacts the costs at the Libro Center, since that seems to be a factor in all of this. Thank you.
Okay, motion to receive, Councilor Melange and Councilor Fryer. All those in favor? Carried. And Councilor Frey?
Just if I can waive the rules to allow the men's league president to speak tonight as well, as a delegation.
Okay, second. Councilor Courtney, all those in favor? Gary?
Maybe you press the button first.
My name is Rick Melosh. I'm the president of the men's over 40 league that plays on Sunday morning and Tuesday night. I'm speaking about the extra cost of the surcharge. I didn't know about it, and I'm the fourth largest user in the arena in the fall through to the spring, and I am speaking against it as well. If I think we have to get a committee together, as was previously stated, to be able to look at exactly how it's going to be dealt with, but I certainly don't think it should be done this year. Our fees have already been determined. Our budget is set for this coming year. We have nowhere to go to get the money that you're going to be asking for. Thank you.
Councilor Melosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will, and I understand all the groups, dilemmas.
We should probably receive the delegation if we're going to move on.
First, okay.
Councilor Fryer and Councilor Melosh, all those in favor? Carried. And I'm just going to go back to administration first so we can get some clarifications before we get into any debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. I think I'm compelled to sort of give council a little background on the history of how we got here and why we're here today. Back in November, we brought a report to council with regards to Libro Center financial update. And at that point in time, council deferred making a decision with regards to a number of recommendations. And one of those recommendations was that a facility surcharge be approved. We did not talk about the value of the surcharge. We only provided examples of the report. So quite honestly, I think we're debating an issue that really is a little bit premature right now. The concept of approving a surcharge is what we were talking about in November. The value was never approved. We were going to consult with the groups once council gave us that authority to do so. So what happened in November is a number of the groups, specifically the Admirals and AMHA, identified, and some of our other user groups in that facility, identified some issues with regards to the ice surfaces and the conditions of the facility with regards to heating and cooling issues that we were having there. We then engaged the services of Fieldcraft Engineering. I do have Mr. Mark Kurzak here, who's available to answer questions. Mr. Kurzak approved a report, prepared a report that was submitted to me on April 11th, and it's before you this evening as well. The issue that we're talking about when we talk about, I think folks are really confusing the issue with regards to the town surplus and why we should use it to fund solely the Libro Center or improve the reserve at the Libro Center. We have that addressed in our surplus recommendation, but I need to remind the group here that on average, the ratepayers in this municipality subsidize that facility to the tune of about $1 million a year. So that works out to about $113 per household that subsidizes the Libro Center. So when we're looking at that, I think council, the direction that I was receiving from council or was to go look at that facility, see how we can become more cost effective, and look at how we're going to protect the asset. Because that, most importantly, is where most of our problems have been coming. There has been some unilateral decisions made by council and previous administrations to reduce the cost of the Libro Center, the operating cost. But quite frankly, that's put us in a position now where if we don't maintain this facility, a $24 million asset, a $24 million asset that was paid two-thirds by provincial and federal government through grants, we run the risk of losing the asset. And that alone, we cannot pay as a town once again. So for folks, when you're looking at a facility surcharge and we're talking about $5, and we're talking about $15,000 for one group, I can appreciate that it does have an impact on the group. but you need to recognize the fact that we're looking at trying to maintain a Class A facility. One of the recommendations in this report, should council approve it, because I've heard you loud and clear, and I know what it takes to run a facility like that. And I've consulted with our engineer of record, and we're making recommendation here this evening for council's consideration to ensure that we have the proper staff at that facility to make sure that we protect the asset. And that's something that has never happened. So this council's got a couple tough decisions, and we're all in this together. I don't want to say that it's going to be totally on your backs. I think that's a misstatement when you say that. I really do. I think you really need to understand the fact that as a community, we support the $24 million facility because council approves subsidizing that building $1 million a year. They approve it on an annual basis. What we're asking you, and we haven't committed to the number yet, is to come to the table. We need to recognize as a community that we all have a responsibility to maintain that facility as a Class A facility for the Admirals to attract the talent and for us to be able to provide the service. Now, when you look at, we're looking at reducing the ice time, May, June, and July. Well, folks, the reason why we came up with that recommendation, and I appreciate you've come up with some solutions, and council's gonna consider those, I'm sure. But we looked at usage, right? We looked at usage. We looked at usage in 2016. We looked at usage in for Mavati Rink, Rink A, Rink B. And quite honestly, we have an opportunity to save approximately $30,000 per month. We had to table that and bring that to council for their consideration. Council can say no, but we needed to look at, our goal was to take that $30,000 to enhance the reserve, to bring that money and put it back in the reserve so we have money going forward and we want to maintain that facility. And also talk about a surcharge. So I think we as administration have brought this forward for council's attention, and I understand you don't want to go with the fees this year. I can appreciate that. It's late in the game now. But I think the discussion has to happen for 2018. For our 2018 budget, we need to bring something back for council to consider on a surcharge rate. And I'll leave it at that. I think from my perspective, I've reviewed Mr. Kurzick's report. I've reviewed Mr. Kurzick's recommendations. I'm fearful if we don't maintain that facility, we won't have a facility to have in 10 years. And that's a big concern for me, and it should be a big concern for you folks. Mr. Kurzick's here to answer any questions of council.
Council Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to CEO. John, originally too, there was a discussion I've had with some members of administration at the arena saying there was a necessity to have the arena shut down for major maintenance, and it had to be done when ice was not in. Mm-hmm. The time frame, the timelines for that to be done, will it fit in with the suggestions that were brought forth tonight?
We can make that work. If you look at, once we know the ice, once council agrees to a time frame, if they're going to agree to a time frame to be out, we'll make sure that we plan our major overhauls for that point in time. That's something totally can work out once we know what the time frame is.
But just further to that, so saying May, like when can the ice be taken out? Because July 20th is 3 days prior if you want ice on the 20th at a minimum in order to put ice in. So you're looking at a shorter time frame. So I'm wondering, I'm going to, I guess, ask the question, when in May are the user groups done? So that way we can facilitate. There's a lot of work, major work, that needs to be done in order to maintain the facility, like Class A, like he, our CEO has mentioned. That work has to be done. There's no way of getting around that. So the time frames have to work so that way we can do the maintenance. So come winter time, or you know, late fall, we don't have slush as ice as other centers do, and we have a world-class facility that people will envy to come and use and bring their children to use as well. So I guess it's an open, I don't know when through you to the engineer, how long has been work going to take, I guess, to facilitate what needs to be done in that major capacity work?
Through your worship, I think we're looking at basically the hours that are, I'm looking at the hours that are rented in the report that was dated November 29th, that went to council November 29th. When we look at the rinks, in May, there's 0 hours that have been rented in the Mobadi rink. When we look at rink A, there's 95 hours that are rented. When we look at the goalie rink, there's 53 hours that were rented in May. Total hours of 148.5 hours that were rented in May. So that's what we have for our records. The question really becomes is if we pull the ice out, can the user groups get their work done earlier than later? That's a programming issue for them.
I want to get the work done that we need to do, the maintenance on the ice cube systems, ensuring going forward that we're not going to have any issues.
I think, Councillor Fryer, if you look at my latest report, the engineering report,
yeah, I saw that.
What I'm tabling is to ensure that we do have regular maintenance with staff, major overhauls. Hopefully we're not going to have as many, but Mr. Lindsay's here and Mr. Kurzik's here. They can answer those questions in more detail.
Review, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Fryer's, to Council Fryer's question. Rick, if the ice comes out at the end of May, we put it back in the July 20th, we would need, in my humble opinion, we would need 10 to 12 days, depending on the weather, to put the ice back in. Going back into August, the 21st. Wolfer was in the 11th, 13th. The system is not closed rink to rink, so we have to ensure that we bring your rink A might be 70 degrees on the floor temperature. Now you want to bring rink A down to equalize B rink, the Mobadi rink, that's at say 15, anywhere 13 to 15. So what happens is every 2 hours you have to shut one rink off to bring another rink on, because it's not a separate identity. They have to run together. So with Wolfaroo coming in, and I believe, I mean, Rick would know better than I would, that the Wolfaroo is the biggest bang we get for the dollar at the Libro Center all year, the dollar value on the weekend. So we can't really move them around. So we need that. It's like from last year's experience, and I think Wes will bear me out, you need to keep that ice safe on B, every 2 hours you've got to adjust off on for a 24 to 48 hour period. So that adds another 2 days minimum to putting the ice in. So if the Wolfaroo is 11 to 13, you've got to get the floor cleaned, all the, you know, the dogs have been there, the building's got to be cleaned up, there's a couple of days. We can start the plant then as well, but you need a couple more days. So I would suggest your good 12 days to be safe to get the ice in for the 21st second, because it's just the time frame on moving it on the 13th to that 10 days, which was the 23rd and not the 20th. I mean, if we could, but you really can't tell. It depends on the weather, humid weather. And as far as the repairs have been ongoing. As a repair or a situation comes up, we've worked through Mark. Mark's been just a tremendous asset to the town. I mean, he's got the best interests. We sit down, we meet, we go through, see what needs to be done, what has to be done. And I think, I'll tell you, in the last 3-4 weeks, you can actually go in the refrigeration room now and talk, and there's not a lot of noise. They're shutting down, they're doing what they're supposed to. It's taken a few dollars and it's taken some time, but we're very close.
Councillor Lee.
Thank you. I don't know why we're, with all due respect,
no.
I don't want anything to do with this. We're policy. We just heard this in an in-depth training session, and they're running the business. I'm just looking at what's in front of me. Consider the funding in the 2017 operating deliberations. Administration directed develop a programming plan to utilize the dry floor service, which I assume has to do with the repairs and everything. Great, you're going to do that. Facility surcharge be approved. This is the only thing that I want to consider in here. Now, when you say be approved, John, that just means, it doesn't mean that we're approving this $5 surcharge today and that these user groups are responsible for tomorrow.
No, it was approving the concept of
the concept, so yep. That they can go back and say, we're not paying this year. So you guys never leave with that. This is for next year, for the budget. And administration be directed to consult with all stakeholders to prepare this schedule, which means you guys will get your chance to sit with them, figure it all out. It's right here.
Yep.
Can I just move this report?
There's no other motion.
Is there a motion on the floor?
There is no motion.
I'll move the report.
Second. Councillor Courtney. At this time, Councillor Milosh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have a growth problem, which is evident in our declining revenues. You know, we look at the ICE rentals, the numbers are declining. You know, 562 in 2014, 527 2015, 527 2016. They're on a decline. And that's just indicative of a declining children, okay, in our schools, and translates into sporting events everywhere. So it translates into the user fees. And I understand that. And we have, as a council, we have to, you know, get growth in this town. So, which in turn helps you guys out. We're trying to pay for an arena that can accommodate a 40,000, you know, person or a population town with 20,000 people. So there's added costs that have to be passed on. The only concern or the issue that I looked at is that the users from 2013 to 2016, the users paid 46.4% of the total cost. The general tax paid 53.6. In 2017's budget, though, the users will only pay 42.8%, with the general tax paying 57.2. We're asking the general taxpayers to pay considerably more, and that's part of what Mr. Michelli was talking about: is how do we equalize that or find some balance by addressing the levy. So. I mean, that, and yes, and moving forward, we have to look at a levy. Otherwise, it's becoming a losing battle, I guess, and the taxpayers are going to be asked to pay more and more and more. Because I understand the users have limited funds. Do agree. Thank you.
Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Even though I agree with what Councilor Milosh has said, about the users of the Libro Center. There are more people than just the children of the users. You've got grandparents. I think there are more grandparents that go to those games than there actually are parents, and their grandchildren are there. So yes, some of the money is also coming out of their pockets also. So it isn't just one specific group that's being targeted. You have this enjoyment, okay, of a lot of people, and I don't want to see anything happen to thwart that, and I fully support the idea that if the fees have been set for this year, I think to get these groups to try to go back and change their fees is just can't be done. So I agree with the recommendation, and I believe that we need to sit down and find out how we're going to work things out for 2018. But I agree with the recommendation as it stands.
Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Councilor Fry?
11-1.
We might as well bring 15.3 forward, which is the Libro Center Engineering Report. Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. Councilor Milosh, second. Any questions on the report? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And then, let's see what we did. No, we didn't do all of 11.1. That brings us to 11.1 for the remainder of it. Council Pryor?
I'll make a motion to receive the report, the 2016 year-end budget, actual summaries for the general water and wastewater funds to be received. The treasurer be authorized to establish an economic development reserve fund and Libro Center reserve fund, and the option, the general surplus of $783,002 as a result of the municipal operations be transferred in accordance with option number one. And further agree with the remainder of the motion.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Milosh.
For discussion.
Yeah, and John, can you throw up the motions maybe? No, I mean, sorry, the options.
44, John.
Councilor Fryer.
I just want to speak a little bit on option one and the reasons why. Option one allows for the police reserve to have $292,291, and I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the amount that it would cost for startup in going with LaSalle now, as or with Windsor now as our dispatching? So that way we would start off the 2018 year in a surplus.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The startup cost to go to the Windsor Police Service is $295,000. The $292,000 was a surplus from 2016, so it'll just about cover everything about by about $3,300. And we won't have a surplus next year, we will have a reduced budget. So our budget will be reduced by some $240,000 next year. But if for dispatching.
So just further, everybody's looking at, why are we starting this reserve? And I think since John, our CAO, has been here, he was the manager of facilities in Windsor. And yes, we had a great facility, but there wasn't much done to it. So I guess if you build a house and you don't do any maintenance, it takes its toll over year after year. And I think some of the user groups have even seen this, and I can attest to it at different times of the year. We're seeing things happen. Council's getting reports of maintenance issues. So I think moving forward, this reserve fund for the Libro Center, which user groups that are here, there's also gonna be more user groups that are gonna be paying into this. And anybody that rents the facilities will also be paying into it. So I'm looking forward. Hopefully this will help alleviate some tax increases later on down the road, because there is a lot of maintenance that needs to be done on a large building like that.
Councilor Milosh?
I agree with option one with one exception. number one in the economic development reserve. First of all, the $15,000 is, although we're setting it aside.
Get your mic.
Sorry. Although we're setting it aside, we would lose it if we didn't spend it. So I don't call that a reserve per se. But what I'm proposing is there was $89,700 sent back to us in our form of a rebate. And I was proposing that, we have an opportunity here, is that we've always struggled at the regional level with economic development, and here's an opportunity, the money we already set it aside at the regional level, take it back in to and put it into our local reserve here, full $89,000 into a local reserve, so that council or the Economic Development Committee through recommendations can use this fund, which was originally earmarked for economic development, for our local efforts. And so I'd like to see a friendly amendment to that effect, that it's there for us to develop our own local economic development.
Councilor Pryor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I'm looking at the amount that we're dealing with this year is separate from that amount that we, the $89,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that $89,000 came from?
The offset would be debt.
The offset from?
The offset would be debt.
Right now I think it muddied the water a little bit, and I think if we, administration would be directed as an add-on to this motion to bring back that a report outlining the $89,000.
through you to council, sorry. Councilor Melosh is right. We received $89,000 from the Windsor Essex Development Corporation. If we were to change option one, it would change the amount of debt reduction for Texas Road. Hold on, let me see if I can run those figures for council very quickly.
211, what the number?
Just a second. I'm pretty good at this stuff.
That's why it's your job, not his.
Okay, so that would bring the debt reduction amount down to $81,011 from $255,711. It's an extra $74,700. So that would be your revised option one if council chooses to support that friendly amendment.
Okay. It's not agreed, so it remains the way it is. And that brings me to Councilor Levine.
Yeah, I'm agree with that. I'll start all my from now on with this policy implementation. This is our choices. One seems good. I don't want to go start doing accounting now either. We just try to do some engineering. I don't want to do accounting now. I'm in favor of option one, too.
Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am in favor of option one. And for one important reason, I feel very strongly about the Greenway donation. Essex really took the ball on that one. And put in their $100,000. They did a lot of the work which benefited Amherstburg, and Amherstburg didn't put in one penny towards it. So I feel really strongly about that $100,000 going to the Greenway donation.
Okay, is there any other questions, comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Option one it is. 12.1. Councilor Pryor?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Levine? Any questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 13.1. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Levine? Any questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Waste collection, 13.2. Councilor Levine?
I'll move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Melosh. Any questions? Councilor Fryer?
Just so the residents are aware, 10 years we save $595,000 over the course of. So I think, you know, staying with one company for that long, I think it's going to do the residents very well in tax years to come.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 14.1. Councilor Melosh.
Move the recommendation.
Second, Councilor Courtney. Any questions on the recommendation? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. 14.2. Councilor Melosh.
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Levine. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Municipal election voting. Councilor Pryor?
I'll move the recommendation striking out using internet. You can go traditional with electronic tabulators even for the advanced polls.
Okay. Is there a second on that motion? Councilor Courtney? And Councilor Fryer?
Just on that, if you look or receive the Municipal World magazine, there's a great article in there that says internet voting. They put it out there for hackers to try to get into the system, and it took them less than 24 hours to manipulate the system. So right now, it's still not something I think municipalities, some use them, and the numbers that people try to say is you will get more participation by internet, and it's shown even in that article too, it doesn't increase the amount of participation in elections. So that's why I'd rather just go with what we've been using no extra cost, and it'll just continue that way.
Any other questions or comments on that motion? Okay, all those in favor? Passed. Uh, 15.2, supplementary agenda. Councilor Melange?
Move that 16.1 and 16.2 be received.
Sorry, we're at 15.2 on the supplementary agenda. Wait a minute. My mistake. We already did that. And we did the engineering report. That brings us 16.1, right where you were at.
Anyway, move to 16.1 and 16.2 be received.
Second. Councilor Levine, all those in favor? Carried. 17. Councilor Levine?
I'll move all correspondence be received.
Second, Councilor Balazs, all those in favor? Carried. Any items need to be addressed in there? Okay. 18.1. Councilor Melange?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Deputy Mayor? Any questions on that? All those in favor? Carried. 18.2. Councilor Courtney?
I move the recommendation. I have a vested interest.
Sorry, we have to back up to 18.1. There is an or. Just a question of the week.
No.
So, if you want to pick one.
Operational.
No, it's not operational. But, so you want the first week?
Yes, I'll take the first
okay,
week.
Okay, and.
Second.
Deputy Mayor, you're okay with the first week? All right, all those in favor? Carried. Now it's official. 18.2. Councilor Courtney moved it. Second. Councilor Melange. Any questions on that? All those in favor? Carried. 18.3. Councilor Fryer.
Move the recommendation.
Second. Councilor Melange. All those in favor? Carried. 19. Councilor Melange.
Move that 19.1 and 0.2 be received.
Second. Deputy Mayor. All those in favor? Carried. Unfinished business. Any unfinished business? Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just wondering if there has been any further correspondence with the Windsor Essex Catholic District School Board concerning St. Bernard's School.
Through your worship, as the direction I received from council, I did send the letter to them. They've received it. They've acknowledged it.
Councilor Fryer?
Unfinished.
Unfinished. Any other unfinished business? Okay. Is there a report? New business? Is there any new business? Councilor Fryer?
Just maybe direction for administration. Particularly Public Works, come back to us to council with a report or feasibility in implementing bike lanes through Sandwich Street.
Is there a second on that? Councilor Levine? Any questions? Councilor Levine?
Wasn't this already done during the initial design phase? I seem to remember them having a few different options, and one of them had like a pedestrian bike path, right? Am I wrong?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I will have to revisit it. There was discussion and there was an engineering report that considered bike lanes at the time. I don't exactly recall why council or why it had been determined not to mark them as bike lanes. However, there has been some concerns on the opposite side of the road, so the east side of the road. The shoulders were paved, I want to say, at the last minute, and now we have that very extensive shoulder there, so there has been concerns at that, and we can definitely take a look at both sides and revisit that issue.
So maybe we can keep it simple and not duplicate too much work, maybe focus on what we'd have to do in order to implement it at this stage. Any other questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Any other new business? Okay, you got a report? Report out from in camera.
Council met on March 20th for a special in-camera meeting at 8:55 p.m. and discussed two items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was a property acquisition update heard under Section 239(2)(c) of the Act, and there's nothing further to report on the matter. Item B is a lease agreement heard under Section 239(2)(c) of the Act, and there's nothing further to report on that matter. Council met on March 27th for a special in-camera meeting at 6:04 p.m. and discussed two items as provided for under Section 239 of the Municipal Act. Item A was an appeal to Ontario Municipal Board heard under Section 239(2)(f) of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter. Item B was building and bylaw division organizational structure heard under Section 239(2)(d) of the Act, and there is nothing further to report on that matter.
No, there was no notices of motion. That brings us to bylaws, confirmatory bylaw. Councilor Fryer.
I move the recommendation.
And second was Councilor Melosh. All those in favor? Carried. Brings us to resuming our in-camera meeting. Need someone to move the motion. Councilor Melosh.
That council move into an in-camera meeting of council directly following the regular session pursuant to Section 239 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the following reasons. Item B, Amherstburg Fire Department Employment Extension. Section 239(2)(b). Personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, and Section 239(2)(b), labor relations or employee negotiations.
Second. Councilor Levine, all those in favor? Carried. We will go back in camera and we'll go to 5 minute break.
Nice job.
What? Oh, you're ready?
Yeah.
All right.
You give that
motion to resume? Councilor Melosh, Councilor Levine, all those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn. Councilor Melosh, Councilor Fryer, all those in favor? Carried.
Paul asked if